Welcome to the Until Sunday podcast with Pastor Benton. I hope that God is doing a lot of great things in your life and that you are seeking Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I'm hoping this podcast today will bring you a lot of encouragement and also draw you closer to the Lord. So today what I want to talk to you about is the concept of prayer. And why do we not see God answer the prayers that we have, especially the way we want Him to answer them? Because what I found in a lot of people is they have a problem with prayer, not the actual doing of the prayer, but the answering of the prayer. They want God to answer in a certain time frame. And most of us, without really wanting to admit it, already know how we want God to answer. We think that we have the answer to the prayer, and God just needs to fulfill that desire. But often, what I found is God rarely answers my prayer when I want Him to, and He rarely answers the way I expect Him to. And so today, what I want to walk through is just to show you a time when this really came to light in the Scriptures, where there's a group of people who were deeply asking God for something, but they really weren't expecting God to answer in the way He wanted. In fact, God answered in an amazing way that probably their minds could have never even comprehended. And I've often found that when God answers prayer, He is very faithful usually to answer not only in ways I didn't expect, but in ways that are much better than I could have ever expected, and to place me in a position that is so much better than I could have expected or dreamed of. So today I want to talk to you about what happened in the early church in the book of Acts. It happened in Acts chapter 12. And to give you a little background of what's happening here, there was a leader of the Roman government for that area where Paul was living, where Peter was, in the early church. And his name was Herod Antipas. Now, if you know your Bible, you've heard the name Herod, but Herod was actually a title of a person. And there were several Herods. Many people know of Herod the Great. He was the Herod that was ruling over Judea when Jesus was born. And you may remember the story where he commanded that all of the boys under the age of 2 to be killed, because he heard that the king of the Jews had been born, which was Jesus, and he wanted to make sure this child didn't grow up to take over his throne. So he said, we'll just kill all the babies under the age of 2. That should take care of the problem. And he did that, but Jesus fled to Egypt with his mom and dad and were spared that. But a guy named Herod Antipas came on, and he was the grandson of Herod the Great. And he really got himself in some trouble with the higher-ups in the Roman government, with the emperor. And he was knowing that he was walking on thin ice with them, and he wanted to keep his position of power. And he knew that the way to do that in the area where he was ruling was to keep the Jewish people happy, because there were a lot of Jews that he was in charge of. And the Romans told him, they said, look, if the Jews become unhappy and become unruly, we're going to have a lot of chaos on our hands. Possibly there could be rioting. But also, he wanted to keep the Jews happy because the Jews paid a lot of taxes, and the Roman government wanted their tax money. And so he was afraid that the Jews may become unhappy and things could get out of hand, and then he would lose his power and be taken away, his position taken away. So what he decided to do was to keep the Jews happy, is that he knew that one thing the Jews did not like was this new group of people that were rising up called the Christians, these Jewish people who were believing that Jesus was the Messiah, He was the Son of God, and they began to follow Him. The Jews didn't like this at all. They believed it was complete heresy. And so what Herod Antipas decided to do was he thought, well, I'll just kill some of them, and that maybe that'll make them happy. And so that's exactly what he did. He took one of the leaders of the Jewish people named James and had him killed. And he said that when he saw how happy it made the Jewish people, he thought, well, I'll just kill another one. And what he decided to do was to go after Peter, because Peter obviously was one of the top guys in the church. I mean, he was a close friend and follower of Jesus. The people looked to him and respected him and wanted to hear what he said. So he decided that that's what he would do. He would kill Peter, and then that would make the Jewish people even happier, and it would make his status even stronger. So he knew that when he wanted to do this, he had a problem. The problem was that it was a time of Passover. And during the Passover time, the Jewish people would have been very busy getting ready for the Passover and doing the things to prepare for the Passover. And if he killed Peter, he may not get a whole lot of attention to it because people were distracted by other things. So he decided to put Peter in prison, and he said, "I'll just wait until Passover is over. Then I'll bring him out of prison and have him killed, and then people will be a whole lot more, they'll be noticing it more, he'll get a lot more exposure to it. This will be great." So he puts Peter in what we would call today the maximum security part of the prison. It was a part in the deepest part of the prison, and part of what would happen when you're in this area of the prison is that you would be chained to two Roman soldiers on each side of you. You'd be in a cell with a door, so you couldn't get out, and outside the door were more Roman guards, but there were multiple layers of doors that you would have to go through, locked doors, in order to get into this part of the prison or out of that part of the prison. So it was a very, very tough place to be in, and really, from human perspective, an impossible place to get out of. And so the Bible tells us that while he was in there, there were people in the church who were at a person's house, and they were praying. And they were praying really hard for God to do something on behalf of Peter. Now, it doesn't say exactly what they were praying, but we can guess from the circumstances that probably what they were praying was, "God, please spare Peter's life," because they knew as soon as the Passover was finished, he was going to be executed. They probably said, "Lord, please spare his life." And they may have even prayed, "God, please let him get out of prison and be released." But the only way they'd have thought he'd be released was that Herod would grant him his release. It'd be through the legal process. I'm sure they never dreamed of any other way, because that's how they saw anybody get out of prison, was that the legal system had to take its course. And maybe Herod Antipas would change his mind and let him out. Well, while they were doing that, Peter's in prison, chained to these soldiers, and an angel appears to him. And he tells Peter to get up. And the chains miraculously fall off. And the guards are asleep. They don't even know what's going on. The doors to the prison just miraculously open on their own. And Peter just walks right out of the prison. And it's just an amazing thing. He walks out with the angel, and when he gets out of the prison, he's standing out in this big courtyard, and the angel just disappears. Well, the whole time Peter's walking out, he was thinking he was just having a dream or a vision, but all of a sudden he's standing out in the street, and he's out of the prison. So he's not sure what to do, but he thinks, well, but probably the best thing to do is to go to my friend's house where it'll be safe. So he goes to this home where all the people from the church had gathered, and they're all praying earnestly for Peter. Well, the problem is he gets out there, it's during the night, and he walks up to the door of the house, knocks on the door, and a servant girl comes. And when she opens the door, she's startled. She hears Peter's voice. He's, you know, saying, "Let me in," and she's startled by this, and she can't believe it. And she doesn't let him in. She, in her excitement, she runs back in the house. And she tells all the people, they said, "You're not going to believe it. Peter's outside. Peter's at the gate of the house." And they looked at her and they said, "No, that can't be Peter. There's no way. It's something else, but it's not Peter." They just couldn't believe that. And eventually what happens is they go to check to see who it is. And to their amazement, it really was Peter. And they bring him in. It's a great story. They come in. They rejoice. They praise God that he's okay. And it's a wonderful time of encouragement and faith for the church. But the problem is, when they were praying so hard for Peter, they're praying for God to spare him. They're praying for God to do something. And God does something. And as soon as God answers the prayers of his people, they didn't believe it. They had a a thing of saying, well, yeah, we believe God can do anything, but they didn't believe he could do this. And they had their own way of figuring out how God could answer the prayer. And God did something far beyond their expectation of an angel showing up, chains falling out, and him walking right out of the prison. Just an amazing story. And sometimes when we look at that, we would kind of think of those people and say, well, how could they have so little faith? But we're often guilty of the same thing. We often will pray to God and say, God, this is what's going on in my life. And Lord, if you could somehow answer this prayer, I would be so incredibly grateful. And we tell God when to do it and how to do it. But then when God doesn't start answering the prayer immediately, we can sometimes almost give up on God and go, well, if God's not going to answer, I'll just figure it out myself. And then we try to fix the problem ourselves. We try to make things happen ourselves, and it rarely works because it's not in God's timing. And I've wondered sometimes how many times in my life have I missed what God wanted for me just because I didn't wait, because I wasn't patient and my faith wasn't strong enough to say, God will answer in his time, in his way. And so one of the biggest things that happened in my life over and over like that are there were times that I was wanting to get married when I was younger. I was always praying that God would bring a wife my way. And I thought that, the answer to that would be that by the time I was 23 or 24, he'd bring me a wife. But I asked him, I said, Lord, I want a wife who loves you. I want a wife who is a godly woman. And I asked, my prayer was, Lord, I would love to have a wife who is calm, who is patient, who is kind. I just wanted a wife who was very peaceful to be around and enjoyable to be around. And so I thought, God, here's my list, and I need you to answer this right now. Well, turns out I was in my 30s before I got married, but God actually brought the perfect wife for me. He brought me a wife who was kind, who was loving, who was gentle, who was peaceful, just a wonderful woman. And as I moved around the country in churches, the same thing. I say, God, if you could, you know, provide this kind of a ministry for me. And the Lord has taken me places that I would never, ever have dreamed of in my life. I grew up in Texas as a kid, and I just figured I'd spend my life in Texas. I went to college in Texas. I went to seminary in Texas. My family's in Texas, so I thought I'll just be in Texas. Well, it turns out after I got out of seminary, and I've never been back to Texas again, and I've been all over the country serving in churches, and every time it's been a wonderful experience where God has done great things through me. But I never would have dreamed all the things in my life, very few of the things I dreamed of when I was younger have turned out like I expected or like I wanted. But God has done so many more things than I could have ever hoped for. And it was, but it took time. And it also took to where I finally had to get to the point and say, Lord, I'm not going to tell you how to answer my prayers. I'm just going to pray and trust you and believe in you and see you work in a great way. I wish I'd learned that a lot earlier in my life, but I didn't. I was kind of hard-headed and a little stubborn and a little prideful, and I thought I knew a lot and thought I could figure it out on my own. But the Lord said, no, I want you to wait on me. I want you to be patient. And I want you to see me work. And I also realized there were some things that if I'd had my prayers answered the way I wanted them to, I really wasn't even ready for those things. That my life, God needed to do a lot of things in my life to get me ready for it. So if you're going through something, and I talk to people all the time, they're going through things, and they ask me the question, they'll ask the question why it's happening. But a bigger question I really get from people is, when is God going to answer? And so there's probably people listening to this right now that you're in that situation. There's people that have health issues that say, when is God going to hear my prayer that I'm in pain, I'm in suffering? I have a lot of people talk to me and they say, you know, I've been praying for a family member. Even more hurtful is a grown child who's walked away from the Lord. And they said, I prayed for them. I've told them about Jesus. I've done everything I can to talk to them. And I pray and I pray and I pray. When is God going to answer my prayer to bring that wayward child back to him? And so there's so many things, financial issues, whatever they may be. God, when are you going to answer my prayer? My my biggest thing I would tell you is this. When you pray, the one thing you need to always make sure you do is not just pray, but you need, while you're waiting for the answer, you need to obey. Because there's a lot of people that want to pray, but they don't want to obey what God has said to do. And so if we are obedient to Christ, we're doing what God wants us to do, we're following His word and following His ways, God will answer. We don't know how He will, but He will. But if all we do is just pray and tell God how we want things to be done, and then we go off and do our own thing, it's kind of hard to expect God to answer us. So if you're in that situation today where you're waiting on God and saying, God, when, why, and how, all these questions, let me just encourage you, stay faithful and obedient to Christ. Do what He wants you to do, and God will answer your prayer in His time and in His way, and it will be good and it will be great. So that's the encouragement I have for you today. If there's something in your life where you need someone to pray with you, find a believer, find a fellow believer. If you're involved in a good Bible teaching church that believes in prayer, talk to your pastor or someone in your church and have them be praying with you and praying for you. If you need me to pray for you, I'd be honored to do that. You can email me. The email is untilsundaypodcast@gmail.com. And I'd love to have your prayer request to say, this is what I need. This is what's going on in my life. And just have other people praying with you and praying for you. But listen, if you have any questions or if you have any things you'd like for me to discuss on a future podcast, please feel free to drop me a line. Again, the email is untilsundaypodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to just let you be a part of what we're doing here. But I hope you have a wonderful week. Keep faithful, keep following Christ, and do His will, and then trust Him with the rest. I hope you have a great day. Thanks.